Cross River, except Phil Dixon and Alfie Land, because there was nobody there when I was there. All those people, any old Yukoners there, I know, like Bill Carson, those guys, you know.
Right.
But I wouldn't know any of the people that lived there.
Did you know Brody, Asteria?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All Asterias, and all the Charlies, and all the Jewels. Well, 140. And then when they closed the Pelly Lakes boat, they split. Half of them went to Lower, not Lower Post, but Leard. There was no Lower Post then, so to speak, you know, like a settlement. And the other half came to Ross River. And they weren't compatible. The Pelly people lived on one side of the river, and the Ross people lived on the other for, oh, I'd say, a couple of years before they amalgamated, so to speak. But they're, you don't find the Indian tribes to be compatible with another tribe.
No, I found that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it was very difficult for the Pelly people to, well, it wasn't that they weren't friendly, they just didn't. Up with Ross River. So they pretty well.
Did you hear it now?
Oh, yeah. You know, that was 20 years ago. It doesn't take long in a small village to pretty well do one thing or the other, either become compatible or not. And many of them did. Many of them are back in, you know, the yard now. I understand a lot of those people came down from the town. But they, and then they had the Shelton closed at that time too. And when T&D's closed the Shelton, then they closed the Pelly Post, and that brought some more into Ross River. But up until the Army came along and everything was by boat, the hills were just white with tents of Indians.
Once a year the boat would come up,
yeah,
in July.
Right.
Yeah, probably was describing that now.
And every Indian for hundreds of miles came to Ross River. But they were honest people, you know. You could put the, like when old Del Van Gorder was running the post, and Edsel, previously, before he passed away, they would hang their furs on the ridgepole, and they take what they needed out of the store. If there was anything left by July, there was very little, you know, but I mean, as they needed it. And they would tell the trader when they came back what it was. The door was never locked on the trader.
What do you mean that it was white constructed scrubbing?
Well, I
the
think...
Sugar?
Well, not only sugar, but it wasn't white man scrub until we got into this refining stage where everything had to, all the vitamins and food were destroyed by chemical process.
Right, but in the beginning when it was first white.
Well, sure, they've been on the same white diet we've been on until, say, post-war years, huh? When they started refining flour and all the food that was going to you and I and the Indians. Poor quality. If we still had whole grain cereals and flour and this type of thing, we'd be just as they would be just as healthy as they were 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
But now that it's cocoa and pretzels for lunch.
True.
Yeah, but that then.
But they were always candy eaters. You know, they have a tremendous sweet tooth. The women would chew and the kids would eat candy. I mean, they've got me up in the middle of the night to give them a candy bar. Oh yeah, the candy crazy, and the Indian the family are crazy about the kids until they're a certain age. And same with everything. A little dog and a little youngster are their world until it can support itself, so to speak, until it's about say 7 or 8. Then there's no more. They love their children, but they're not, you know, giving and cuddling and loving and this type of thing. They're on their own, so to speak, but that time. Right. And when they're little, they can't be too nervous that they get, or anything else they want for that matter, if the father wants. But really, the Indian wanted very little when he wanted enough clothes on his back. He didn't care whether he had a roof over his head or not. very simple things. We never changed the label of any kind because the half of it couldn't read. And they wouldn't trust it, you know, like Pacific Milk's had the same label since I can remember. And if they ever changed that label, the Indians out of business. And this goes with so many. I'm talking specifically of the Ross River people. I know very little about the others. I think some of them were a little further advanced than we were, you know. But they'd never been near whites until there was any amount of whites until war.
Right.
When they built the canal, wrote the yellow. Right. And so it was the basic milk and sugar and flour and tea and lard and beef fat and tobacco and chew. Oh, chew, you can see without chew, that was a disaster. And candies of some kind, you know. Not so much chocolate bars, mixed candies and some rice. But no fancy clothing. It was all jeans, jean jackets, heavy long johns, heavy wool socks, and Evangelines for the women, and those fleece flannel lined, big long pants, you know, and scarves. They were, you know, had to have their scarves and gloves and mitts, and just the normal thing that you wear in winter. Very few shoes or boots or anything. There were. I don't believe I ever sold a pair of shoes. Oh, yeah.
Was it hard for you to make them again?
No, well, our living was simple, too.
True, yes.
You know, this is the whole thing. We were compatible with the native life because we had no place to go out to dinner or our only expense was the freight, and that was paid by the native because everybody has to tack on their costs naturally. So, and that was expensive. But I believe our prices were lower with air freight in those days than they are today at Ross River. Oh, yes.
Well, I was up in Ross a month ago,
and
they were thinking the cheaper Ross River.
Yes. And we never tried to gouge them. You know, there was no, I'm not a robber. And I will say T&Ds weren't either. They were pretty fair. The only thing they would bring in stuff that was not necessary. And it ran their inventory to a tremendous price, which the Indian had to pay for. You know, you stack up top hats and tails and you know, the things that weren't... We had to keep the inventory running, turning over continually, or we wouldn't have been in business. And that's what broke Taylor and Drury, was an inventory that wouldn't sell. You know, when they come in with their fur, they'll buy anything on those counters because they're stinky, they're rich. But in 3 months, they're broke. And what are you going to do with all this stuff that you brought in to get the buck while they've got it? I'd rather see them with money for the whole time than have nothing or be on an indigent ration, which it was in those days. You know, you dole out a little bit of grub here and a little bit of grub there, and it was that little too for a family.
Did the government subsidize?
Yes, but you just had to beat old Meek on the head to get a ration for those people. And I mean, and they had to be practically in a stretcher case before they were sent out for medical aid either. And I got my head handed to me 15 different times from Ottawa for sending an impacted wisdom tooth out. And you know
that
the pain in that.
Enough.
No, dentists, they didn't care if the teeth fell out or what happened to their teeth. You know, that wasn't a medical problem. They just took me over the coals. I'm fierce. And I never sent a patient out unless it was absolute emergency. Yeah. And you had to... threaten Ottawa or somebody to get it. There's nothing easy then.
How often do you do a doctor or something?
Once a year.
A year? Do what doctor?
A TB survey. Aline would come out if I threatened her with annihilation, but Aline Moen was the only health nurse in the Yukon. So,
the Alaska Highway Nurse, eh?
Right. And Amy Wilson was another one.
Right.
You know, so these girls that worked hard, and you become pretty disgusted after wore dark glasses. But of course, this is natural with most people. Not type A, you never see Eskimo, but he will wear something over his eyes and his hands are strange, but I think it feels good to get it. And you travel those lakes. Have you ever had sand in your eyes?
Not enough to do that.
Well, if somebody took a handful of it and threw it in your eyes, that's what it's like. Oh, it's terrible. It is terrible, the agony.
There's nothing to do.
No, tea bags is all. The tannic acid seems to draw the fire out of your eyes. But that's all. I don't know if anything, maybe there's medicine today or something. Not the time, right?
Right.
Well,
when you're given 12 to 1 every day, you're lucky.
old clocks on a trap line.
Did you find
just
out
knew
a lot of adjustment then?
Oh, no. Yeah. about the only two I can stomach the rest of that stuff. They called it Julian.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Julian? Well, that was a big thing. That was good in stew or soup or anything else. And the first part of the fall, you'd have lots of potatoes. Well, you know, the Yukon's a big country, and it, you know, it's it, and they knew that if they got more fur than Joe Blow, they would get more money. Then that was the change. That's your dream.
What was that one of the things?
a woman has no business with an axe in her hand. And it doesn't matter if he's in the bush or he's on a farm. How many women were the woodgetters on a farm? This is old school. This is, I at least can take care of you in some respect.
I just thought it was strange because you were doing everything else.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was, I could never understand it. But this was a horror. You know, no way do you need that axe. I'll do the chopping. And this is another thing when you say doubt, huh? He never doubted there'd ever be a time he wouldn't be doing the chopping of the wood.
What to do.
That's right. And boy, I'm telling you, there's been a lot of respect for an axe, too. It's a tremendous weapon.
Yeah.
And when you don't know how to use it, you know. And after you learn, this is the good part, too. Because when I got proficient with an axe, I got careful. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. And I was lackadaisically chopping wood in it. Off the top and right across that thumb, and old Joe, an Indian there, stopped the blood for me with pitch. I couldn't stop. I couldn't let go of the thumb to do anything, you know, because it just spurred out. And Joe saw me. He was helping me build a cabin. And he asked me what I'd done. He said, I got my thumb. Not long, because, you know, you can be good at anything if you practice. stuff like that. It was cheap, but it's a good hobby. It's a lot of fun. When, you know, you're nobody's around to upset, you have nothing else to do.
That's something I really need to do. I have
a gun. Are you? Well, I don't know what a gun would do for you. I never take a gun to bush. We never pack the gun in winter time. It would be stressful.
The winter doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean, unless you were hunting, we never took a gun.
You carry a gun in the summer, spring, for bears or anything? No.
We had guns all the time because we were hunting, you know, like beaver or whatever. But we didn't pack a gun for a grizzly bear. Any more than I do now. I never think of a rifle, but never thinks of anything else. But that's the last thing on my head is a gun. I've got bells on my pack sack, but that's nothing to be nervous about. Absolutely nothing. I know how you feel. I mean, when I didn't like that, I was a little uptight too. But really, there's nothing to be worried about. I have more respect for a bull moose when it's running than I do for a grizzly. Because a grizzly, you don't know what it's going to do, but it very rarely just charges you to be charging. Where a bull moose, when it's running, will charge anything, even pickups. You know, they demand a tremendous amount of respect. An old steer was crippled by a moose too. Well, polio too, but he got caught on the side hill with a wounded bull, and he jumped into some balsam. And they, fortunately, you know how balsam grow in a tight clump above, they call it above timberline because there's so little of it, and they're a real chunky clump and real heavy limbs. And he got down in the middle of there, and that bull moose chopped those off level with his head. From the territories, and she was half-breed. seconds it took off the balloon. And she had a boy and a girl by the pool. And the boy is still in Dawson. He's still there. And his daughter was drowned.
River, there wasn't one Catholic.
not one single Catholic in that whole village.
He's a missionary in the true old school sense.
Better believe it. And he swore he wouldn't leave Ross River till they were all Catholic. Except me. Not that I have anything against Catholicism, but poor old Father Rico and I used to go around something awful. And it's a sin. And it's a sin to take children away from their families and send them to school. Everything the government stuck their finger into with these people has been a just botch right from the word go. Utter chaos. Of course they don't, and who are we to tell them how to handle it? You know, the great white fathers always run around telling other people how to live. And I guess I made a real boob one day when Ottawa used to periodically come to Ross River, and they didn't like me. I wasn't very compatible to their ideas, and I certainly wasn't popular with any government. Didn't matter who he was. But when you come into a village, you know the people, so you think. You know they like specific things to eat, so you stock your store with that stock. I don't go out and buy pork chops if I know I'm not going to sell a pork chop. But these people were the great white fathers that were going to bring the health standards of the Indian up to the white man. So they insisted that I give them, sell them, powdered milk, and pablum. Now, there's not an Indian breathing knew what a pablum was. And they wouldn't give it to, and those kids quit drinking milk when they're weaned. You never see milk again when that youngster's weaned. And I refused.
This was a concerted effort on part of the health care.
Right. I didn't stock it, and I never dreamt of giving powdered milk to an Indian. They bought Klim for their coffee. I certainly didn't expect them to feed it to their kids. And when Lean Moen came in and showed them that the powdered milk was cheaper and, you know...
Cheaper than what?
The canned milk.
Yeah, no, but when you're not using it at
right.
all.
And to feed it to their kids, I had three kids almost dead of malnutrition. You know what the milk looked like? Pale ink. They didn't know how to mix powdered milk to drink.
Oh, the mothers are feeding to their kids.
Yeah, because Aline said this was the thing to do. You know, and until the health nurse came in there, they all nursed their babies.
Of course. I think that was garbage anyway.
Sure it is, so is milk. And that's another thing with me. Everybody says milk is healthy. But I've never seen an unhealthy Indian after he was weaned. And he goes on drying fish and dried moose meat. And his teeth weren't bad. He wore them out. He didn't end up in a dentist chair with a bunch of cavities. You know, we've got lots of beautiful ideas. That's why we're a mess and they're still trotting around happy and stupid, I guess.
What about the tuberculosis? Is there a lot of
that? Anything a white man got to do. They had an epidemic of smallpox that just wiped out about the whole Yukon about a year before we went to Ross. We were in the Yukon, and it wasn't in Ross when the epidemic hit, but that was pretty sad, you know. And those people were a happy people until the American Army got here, and reflection on the country of this one, and things that they paid for themselves that were necessities all of a sudden became a luxury. Priced right out of this world. And they got slipshod and lazy. Sinew was the only thing an Indian would ever think of sewing until a soldier came up and wanted a pair of moccasins in a hurry, and then thread was good enough. And you wear a pair of moccasins sewn with thread in snow, and you're on barefoot in a month, because snow rots thread. This type of thing, you know. What was a necessity became a luxury, and the luxury cost money, and they could make more making luxuries than they could taking care of their own. And pretty sad, but that's the way it is.
Did you make your own
No.
Nope.
girl on the street the other day, and she was reading. And we're down there talking. She says, "You're 10 of my yet." And that's 20 years. And it, nope, just like that, and I pounded the pavement. But that's, they never forget if you can't do something. And Buck can tell you about Indians. When he was a boy here, he was born and raised here. He spent every summer in Champaign. And every summer he had to lick every Indian in Champaign before they'd have anything to do with him for the rest of the summer. I don't know what I did wrong, but it wasn't right. It just never...
You tried to...
Oh, yeah, this is what they think so funny. It always came out like a board. I've worked my heart out on skin. She told me the other day for the first time, it may take them time to tell you what's wrong, but they eventually will.
20 years.
20 years. She told me I had... my water was too warm. Too hot. No, this is the Edsel, Bill and Joe. This is old Edsel's oldest boy, since his wife, they're in White Horse.
Oh,
but they were
rocked. Stacked up over that because that's great to do it.
like they always say, you shoot a raven, they say. Second. that hospital was in a, what, never saw such activity, like.
It could have been a white woman.
I don't know. I know I wouldn't have been standing in the hall because I'd have said something, even if I was hemorrhaging.
She'd had the baby okay.
No. Oh, well, I'll bet wrong.
Yeah.
Lost so much blood then that it